Hey, story seekers, it's Nisha, and you are now listening to Nisha's Open Diary, where the stories are real and the tea is all about me. Welcome to Nisha's Open Diary. Today is Monday, April 15, 2024. I am Nisha, and you are now listening to Nisha's Open Diary, where my story times are true and my experiences are real. And today's story time is about how I met my best friend. Matthew 7:1-5. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This story time starts when I was in the sixth grade at this school called Robert Fulton Elementary School. The school year had just got underway, and the class I was in, I know nobody. And at this point in time, labels and name brands were becoming more apparent to me. And we were in the first week of school, and everybody was coming in fresh. You know how it is when school first starts. Everybody's hair's pressed and laid. Everybody got on fresh new clothes, new shoes, backpack, everything new. And to them first 2 to 3 weeks go by, then things kind of go down a little bit. And so I did too. I was fresh. I had on new stuff or whatever, but I just had on basic stuff. And more importantly, my shoes came from Payless. As in, I ain't have on no name brand shoes. I had on decent stuff. It just wasn't, you know, labels and stuff like that. And everybody knows that Payless was a cheap and discounted type of shoe store. And I will reiterate again, my mom was raising 4 kids alone after the situation with my father. And when he was out of the picture, it was all on her, which it kind of already was. It was her and us 4 kids. And she couldn't afford to go do certain things or whatever because we was on a budget. And certain shoes and things, she just couldn't buy for all of us. So if she couldn't do it for all of us, then, you know, we kind of just stayed on the same level. She didn't do it for one that she was. She didn't do for one that she couldn't do for the other, basically. So the only one who really did start getting like some name brand stuff or whatever was my oldest brother, because he entered middle school and high school before we did, obviously. So he was on a different scale, I guess. And which at the time, I really didn't care anyway because it didn't really mean anything to me. I was content with what I got until I went to school one day wearing these white sneakers from Payless, and I got teased, made fun of, and talked about until this girl who sat in the row to my right, and she sat more so towards the front of the room, and I sat in the row next to her, like more so towards the middle or towards the back of the room. And basically, I could see her back from where I sat at. And she turned around and told them to stop messing with me and to leave me alone. I was so glad she did that because I was 2 seconds from tears rolling out my eyes, and I was tired of it. And the other kids would have roasting sessions about my shoes whenever the teacher left the class for a minute or whatever. And she left another student in charge to watch over the class and report to her anybody who got out of line. After that day, me and her started talking and hanging out, and we became friends. And the friendship grew and blossomed from there. She stood up for me and had my back from a genuine place. That's why in previous story times, I didn't understand why she reacted the way she did. Not saying that it was her job or that was her reason for being my friend, stand up for me or, you know, be my protector. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I just expected her to do as she always had. Not saying it was her job or her place. I don't know. Maybe she was tired of defending me. I don't know. I just know how it made me feel. And it wasn't a good feeling. I then went home and told my mother I could not and I would not go back to school without some Nikes or some type of shoes that weren't going to have me getting picked on every day. So she eventually bought me some shoes that had just dropped. They was the Deion Sanders. I forgot the actual name of them shoes or whatever. I felt like a weight had been lifted off of me. My confidence recovered. I felt good about walking into class wearing them. And the other kids were then staring at my feet, saying, oh, she got them new Deion Sanders on, them fresh. My sneakers was fresher than everybody's at that point. And in the back of my mind, I was thinking, now what? From that point on, I became OCD or very meticulous about my appearance, from head to toe. If I was going to wear it, it mattered. I had to be put together well because I never wanted anybody to be able to say a word about anything I was wearing ever again, or about my person or about my appearance in general, which again gets me because I experienced the teardown again after I met my son's father and his mother, who then made me feel like that again, all over again, just like I did in the sixth grade. So that made me take an even harder look at myself because they had made me feel like I was in a petri dish under a microscope, under observation, just something. Like I was being prodded and picked apart. And after being judged so harshly by the kids, and now here they come. So, I mean, apparently it must be something wrong with me. And so I became consumed with making sure that I was always well kept and well put together and never undone. Not saying that I wasn't in the first place, not saying that I didn't keep myself or I wasn't caring for myself or dressing right and wearing clean clothes. And I'm not saying that that was ever the case. It was just that other people were judging me and expecting me to adhere to their expectations and their standards, much like the ones society has bestowed upon us. These experiences then created a monster and helped shape me into who I am today. I refused to leave the house and go out in public without being well put together. With a hair out of place, ain't no way I'm stepping out the front door. My hair has to be done. My makeup got to be done. My outfit got to be on point. My shoes got to be fly. I have to be fly from head to toe. And if not, I am not good. In fact, I have two medical procedures coming up in May. May 9th, to be exact. I have to be put to sleep to have them done. I'm preparing now to get my nails done, my toes done, my vajayjay wax, make sure I'm shaved, not ashy, my teeth get white, my hair get done. I have to be there at 8:30 in the morning, and I'm going into this appointment to be put to sleep. But guess what? I'm going to have on a new outfit. I'm going to be showered up and clean, smelling good. I'm going to have on new underwear, new everything. All that I have to take off to put on a hospital gown. And I'm very concerned about the doctors and the nurses and the anesthesiologists and assistants who are all going to be standing over me during these procedures, who are going to be judging me, if you ask me. They're going to be judging me and, you know, during these procedures or whatever, if you ask me. And so I'm trying my best to show up as the best me. And I'm trying to leave no room for anybody to have anything to find negative to say about me. My life will be in their hands while I'm under this anesthesia. And I am who I am from my experiences that I have had, and they have made me so conscientious about how I present myself to the world and other people. My experiences have shaped my beliefs, my values, my perspective on life, and these experiences I have had amongst many others have had a significant impact on how I see the world, but more so people, how I interact with people and the decisions that I make, every conversation that I have, every interaction that I have, the places I have been, the relationships that I have or have had, all have contributed and shaped who I am. The good ones and the bad ones. My society, my family, my friends, my ethnicity, my culture, my location, my interests, my self-expression, and my life experiences are all factors that have helped to shape my identity. And even with the things that I have gone through, the judgment of me, you, and everybody else in the world never stops. Now I get judged off of my need to have or want certain things or nice things. Just last year, I had someone say to me, "Oh, Tanisha, I know how you like your labels and your fancy things." No, you think you know. To know me and know what I have been through, you wouldn't make such a judgment. People value you and measure you off of the things that you have or don't have. That's how people calculate your success. If you drive an Audi, people are going to say, oh, she must be doing well for herself. But if I drove a raggedy, beat up car that was falling apart, people would laugh and they would say, that bitch need to get a new car. So I have learned through my experiences not to try to keep up with the Joneses, but to be the best version of me and present the best version of myself to the world and acquire things in my life that are equal to where I am in life. I live my life as I see fit. And anybody who doesn't like me for me can kiss my ass. Because material things are nice to have, but they don't make me me. They don't define me as a person. And if you take away all the material things that I have, I'm still a genuine, solid ass bitch who has learned to stand 10 toes down and rely on my values, my morals, my self-assurance, my self-worth, and my principles to guide me. And no matter how anyone else sees me, I stand firmly in being me, and whatever anybody else thinks or has to say means nothing. All right, story seekers, that is all for this story time. I am out of here. Make sure you follow me on all socials at Nisha's Open Diary and my website at nishasopendiary.podbean.com. And until next time, I will meet you where the pen meets the diary. All right, story seekers, that does it for this story time. I'm out of here. Until next time, make sure you tap in. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Nisha's Open Diary, and I will meet you where the pen meets the diary.